Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Look at you. You're a tank right now.
I am.
The Take with Andy Sweeney.
You're crushing that tall boy
yeah,
right now.
That's what I do.
Tastes like water, doesn't it?
It does.
And James Strebel.
Tastes like water. Just damn them like Tyler Mountain water.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Yeah, wait a minute. I have a caveat. I'm...
No, there's no caveat. Hey, who are you, Blankenbaker? Oh, Louisville's going to beat Kentucky. You want to bet? How many points you give me?
Give me the Bengalis.
All right, I'll take Pittsburgh.
Oh, I love it, Jack. I love some luminaries on a Friday, even though it's a football Friday. I love some basketball luminaries. Hey, what's going on? It's 302. It's ESPN.
Football Friday.
Here we go. 105.7. It's The Take here on ESPN Louisville. ESPNLouisville.com. The ESPN Louisville app. I'm Andy Sweeney. James Strebel will be here in short order. Big Rig. Rig's going to be fired up. He gets to see Metallica tonight. How about that? A little Metallica on a Friday. So we have that going on. Jack Grossman.
Hello,
out,
ladies.
Producing today's effort, and we are jam-packed today. Our good friend Jeff Cameron will join us at about 3:35, 3:40 or so. We'll talk some Florida State football with him as we are now the eve of the big games with Louisville and Florida State, Kentucky and South Carolina. So we'll talk some FSU with him. We have Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports. We'll talk some gambling. We'll do that with him at about 4:20. And then the mixtape presented by the Hightower Men's Clinic is coming up at 5:30. Jackie, how you feeling about the mixtape this week? You believe
Issel? Oh, it's loaded this week. I think
is the winner, right? You think Issel won?
It's either him or Strebel. It's well, close. I think Issel puts in a pretty damn good claim.
Man.
For it,
and we have Issel sound today, right?
Yes.
I mean, I'm looking at the sound sheet today. Issel again went after Lamar Jackson. Is that what you're telling
yes,
me?
Twice.
Again, which is 3 days in a row. And don't we have at least a little something to continue Shire September? It's not a haymaker like it's been the last, what,
right.
three, 4 days, but it's still something to keep it going, right? We do
right.
have something
it's
Shire related.
It's not a sound clip, but it's a tweet.
And that's all we need
yes,
sometimes.
That's all we need sometimes.
That's all we need sometimes. So that's what's going to happen. Strebel's going to be pre-gaming. Strebel's using the show to pre-game right now. How quick do you think he kicked his kids out of the car today? You kicked
Oh, they
the
didn't
kids.
Even make it to the McDonald's.
Yeah, you kicked the kids out of the car. Okay, because now it's big guy time. It's Metallica, a little sports radio. How much are you guys around the office watching the Ryder Cup? We have our first update coming up in about 12 minutes, because I love the Ryder Cup.
Really? You do?
Yeah. Yeah, so you don't?
I wow. mean, I had the take earlier. I mean, like, I like it, but
I'm
just not watching it over football. Like,
well, it's
I'm
on
not,
right now.
Yeah.
It's on right now. Yeah. It's on at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Jack.
Yeah, but yeah. It's the first day, though.
Yeah,
first day doesn't matter.
It absolutely matters. What are you talking about
right
now?
I've seen
right
the Americans
now.
Blow that damn thing having huge first days.
Well, that's true. It still mattered. So did Sunday. All right. Well, okay. So Strebel doesn't know a name on here, and you don't give a damn. You're not even watching it at like 1:30 on a Friday.
No, like I'm debating turning on Cubs Cardinals.
Oh, like, Lord. Why?
It's the
why
last,
would you want to watch that? Why would you want to watch
Cubs Cardinals?
Because
it's the last home stand of the year, so I'm like,
put it up at ESPN 680. Would you rather watch Cubs Cardinals or the Ryder Cup
well,
on a Friday afternoon?
Would
there
agree
you
with
go.
Me on that one. I don't think that's well, who I wanted my quarter, though.
No. So there you go. Okay, so a few things. 437-9680. A few things off the top. Number one. I got something Kentucky-wise as we get ready for South Carolina. Number two, We got something ready as we get ready for Louisville, Florida State. Okay? And number three is the biggest story. I don't know if it's the biggest story, but Caleb Glenn committing to Louisville and Chris Mack. That is what all the Louisville people want to talk about. Am I right? Is my reading of that, Jack, correct? Because wasn't it just a few days ago? Wasn't it just a few days ago that your boy Mike Woodson wasn't down taking the picture? He had the entire staff there. Didn't we do like
That was like a week and a half.
It was last Thursday. Last Thursday because we talked about it during the Blitz last week with Zach Osterman, and I remember asking him. I'm like, you know that Louisville fans here all think it's like, you know, we've been thinking Caleb Glenn was going to commit. Of course, Caleb Glenn, big-time top 50 prospect, I think four-star right 39th. Now out of Male High School.
That's where he's at in the composite right now, 39th.
He's 39th. Okay, well, there you go. For some reason, I was thinking he was 38th. Not that it matters, but he's 39th. And remember, we had Zach Osterman on, and he didn't know that Louisville fans were like, yo, bro, this is done. So that's what I need to know. I need to know if Louisville fans can laugh at Indiana today, Jack. I mean, you knew.
I knew he was going to Louisville.
But you're here in the midst of the pit of this hell.
I think Indiana fans... I don't know if they expected to get him, but they thought they had a shot at him.
Oh, they thought they had a shot.
Yeah, which I've been seeing the Indiana message boards.
Are they sad?
I don't know.
How are they feeling today?
I've seen all the people
on
Twitter.
You haven't been on an Indiana message board?
No.
Let's go. What are the big Indiana message boards?
Pigs. That's the big one. That's the big one. You want me to get on Pigs, see what they're saying?
What is like $10 a year?
We need to get that. I have a buddy's account, so I have a way to get on it.
Oh, just, there you go. Yeah.
I just don't take advantage of it as much as I should.
What are you doing? Let's
go. Get on it now.
If we can get Pigs.com message board fodder, you know I'm all in on that. Let's go, baby. So that happens today, and this could be, and I say this, if Louisville can go beat Florida State, and you have Caleb Glenn on a Friday afternoon, a local kid that matters to some fan bases, and I think Louisville, it absolutely matters, both in basketball and football. And if you can get a local kid, especially some of the guys, David Johnson, Ray Spalding, now Caleb Glenn, you can go back to Larry O'Bannon, and the list goes on, that matters. Now, it matters to Kentucky fans. And that's why you get the Reed Shepherd thing. But I think it really matters to Louisville fans. And Chris Mack has done, whether it be coaching or whatever it is, I think he's done a fairly good job here with the local guys. So that happens today. And if Louisville beats Florida State on the football side, Jackie, that's two weekends. That's back-to-back weekends. That would be kind to the Louisville fan. And that's where I'll start today. So the Caleb Glenn stuff is out there. Louisville fans still looking to get Rodney Wright, and Chris Mack putting together. You know, the one thing I can't figure out with Chris Mack recruiting, and I think Chris Mack is going to do a pretty good job with the graduate transfer route in hell. I mean, going out and getting a guy like Carly Jones that hits that much. And I shouldn't even say the grad transfer route because now it's just simply the transfer route. I think Chris Mack, and you have seen it, his short tenure, you saw it last offseason, you saw it this offseason, has done a good job in the transfer market, okay? You still want to get high school kids. And I know, like, if you go back to, and oh, I had this looked up earlier, like, if you go back to 2021, well, you know, that was 2020, not 2021. Maybe it was 2019. Chris Mack has had, I mean, 2019 was the Super Six. I mean, I think Louisville fans are happy with the way he's recruiting, right? And I say that, under the disguise, and this is what always confuses me, and this is one reason why I kind of throw up my arms when it comes to recruiting, when it's not guys who are at the very top, and that's not a Kentucky thing or a Duke thing or whoever may be recruiting at the top. It's just I feel like the hit rate, and I know Kentucky was not a good example. They won 9 games. They were bums last year. But, you know, a couple classes in a row, Louisville fans were really happy with their classes, and the Super Six did not work out, right? And then the next year, Jack, in 2020, I think DeAndre Davis is a nice player. I think he's a bench player. I don't think Gabe Wisnitzer is an ACC player at the Louisville level to get minutes. And J.J. Traynor is one of those guys where if it clicks, if it works, the dude could be a beast. He's changed his body. We'll see. And so the narrative over the weekend, or not over the weekend, the narrative this offseason has been the recruiting didn't work out, so Chris Mack has went to the transfer portal, and then he gets kids, and then we love his recruiting, and they're rated about the same as the guys he got, right? Does that make sense to anybody? But Louisville fans are happy to get Caleb Glenn. They want Salah Brown from Mayo on the football side next, and so that's one of the things that was going on today. The other things, before we get our first Ryder Cup update here in about 5 minutes, on the football side, I am a firm believer in two things this weekend, okay? Number one, will the Kentucky fan, this is the question that I want Strieble to think about on his way over here. Will the Kentucky fan on Monday be left in limbo? And what I mean by that is, what if you win in a close game that's kind of ugly and you get away with turning the football over, or there are gaping examples of mediocre football play? That's what I'm getting at as it pertains to Kentucky football. And I got something with Louisville here in a second. Will Kentucky
I got some of these message boards.
Oh, are they great? Stuff.
There's some good ones.
Dude, I told you, man. I told you. They're great. All of them are great. But I might have to crush somebody today. We'll get to that here in a second. But will the Kentucky fan be in limbo? And what I mean by that is, if you lose, your season is absolutely in peril. I don't care if it's on a 50-yard field goal as the time expires. Your season will be on life support with what's coming up in the next three games. Make no mistake about it. If you win by 30, okay, you come out, you win by 3-4 touchdowns, we're going to say, okay, they learned their lesson with Chattanooga, and they did what they needed to do. It's a bad South Carolina team. They went. They won big. They covered the number. Your boy Sweeney's rich on DraftKings because of it, and we all move on, and you feel at 4-0 as good as you could feel going into a matchup with Florida. And obviously we'll see what happens Saturday afternoon, night, whenever it's played between Tennessee and Florida on Saturday. And so that is kind of my thought right now as it pertains to Kentucky. Are they going to fart around, for lack of better terms? And that will mean that is who they are. If we go through that much of the season, a third of the season, we know it's not going to be something that is going to be totally corrected. If they cannot create turnovers, if Will Levis has a couple picks and Chris Rodriguez fumbles at the 3-yard line, we're just going to kind of sit back and say, hey, that's what this team right now is. That, I mean, they have deficiencies. They're going to have to clean it up. Sure, if they win against South Carolina, but at some point, you're looking for a little bit of clarity. Of course, now you may argue if they win the game 33-31, that's all the clarity that you need. The other thing, as it pertains to U of L, it may be corny to say, but this is a Louisville team coming off the emotional high of what we saw on Friday night. And this is a Louisville football team that right now you would imagine has a pep in their step and a level of confidence they haven't had, what, this year and maybe last year? I mean, last year was bad. Last year was not a good year in Louisville football. Go back to year number one, the end of year number one with Scott Satterfield. Like, I mean that. That's where we go. And if you're Louisville football and you're Scott Satterfield, your team dialed in, okay, no play calling, reverting back, a defense that needs to clean it up a little bit. And to me, this is a Satterfield game. It's a Satterfield game. It's why I don't trust Stoops, even though I think Kentucky will win, is you got to have guys locked in. And that doesn't always happen. And to me, if Louisville goes out and they give back all of the momentum that they had, all of the feel-good that they had, and by the way, I've been clear, I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're going to go. I think they're going to win. I got buddies who were nervous about this game. I'm not. By the way, Rory just canned a 30-footer. He was a bum in the early rounds, though. And Locke said he didn't bet him, Jack, and I don't believe
it. What a lie that was. He always bets Rory, especially in the Ryder Cup.
He always bets Rory. Always. Where are we at with the Westwood One update? Is it right now? It's got to be soon here.
It was twenty seconds ago.
Jack, yep. Jack, what are you Dang doing, it. Man? I said it four times.
Yep, I know. God, that's bad. All right, I'll set the alarm for 46.
Jack, what are you doing?
Look at the damn message boards.
All right, what are the message boards saying about Caleb Glenn? What's Pigs.com say? And by the way, what's your buddy's name? Do you mind saying what it is?
His username?
Yeah, his username.
No, it's just his name.
Okay. Yeah,
he doesn't post stuff.
That something
silly? No, he's actually a Louisville fan, so that's where he's from.
Are all Indiana fans Louisville fans?
No.
Is this something that I should know about?
No.
Is Alex Bozich a U of L fan?
No.
Okay, okay.
No.
Bobby Knight coach at U of L and Indiana. I mean, every one of these Indiana fans also has Louisville season tickets. Like, what's happening here? What are we doing around here? It's embarrassing. Go ahead. What's your Louisville fan buddy had to say? Yeah,
so, no, it's not him. It's the other people on the board. Someone said, I wonder if Mag's secret recording of this verbal leaked.
Oh, man. Is that all? That's the best you got?
No. Hate? Another one
I
says,
some hate. What are we doing here?
Major bag alert, job on the line, had to get this kid.
Major bag alert.
Yep.
So we had a major bag alert.
Yep.
There
another
we go.
One says, Streeble like this one. Time to go for Reed Shepard now.
Oh, wow. So Indiana fans want to go for Reed Shepard.
And then
okay.
One says, might as well stay on this kid so we can be the number one option when Matt gets fired.
Okay. You're sad, dude.
No.
That fan base is sad.
Yeah.
It's a sad, yeah.
One just says, bummer.
Dude, how sad is it? Bummer. Y'all thought you had a chance with him, didn't you? Mike Woodson brought his, I almost called him Davis. Mike Woodson brought his entire staff down. What's the big heavy hitter recruiter? What's the guy's
Kenya Hunter.
Name? Yeah, yeah. What happened with him? I mean, Dane Fife was shining. He was smiling and everything else. What happened with Dane Fife? Oh, goodness. Well, this is where we were going to do the update. We'll still take a break anyway. Short break. Streeble's pulling up in a minute. It's a Football Friday. We got you to 6 o'clock on ESPN 680.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
CardNation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Texas says, Streeble's delusional. No effing kid wants him hawking during lunch.
You don't know what you're talking about, dummy.
And James Streeble.
Number one, you're effing delusional. You don't know about anything about me.
I agree with that guy.
You're wrong.
No one wants
hovering. I don't know
how
to tell you.
Hovering.
I don't hover.
Hover.
I sit at a table.
Hover.
And I eat. Yeah, and they walk over and they say, hey, how's it going?
They can't let out an F-bomb or whatever.
They're not going to let out an F-bomb anyway.
Oh, yes, they
other
will.
Schools have cafeteria monitors. Rather have someone, a monitor hovering over you, standing over you while you're eating,
we like
or
the
me
public
sitting
schools.
At a table. And public schools had monitors. You know why? Because I had to be a monitor at a public school when I was student teaching. They had monitors. You all don't know what you're talking about.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Music up, Jack. Don't turn that down. Let me turn Streeble up.
Here
this band's playing a Louder Than Life in like 2 hours.
Oh, are they?
How about that?
Well.
Look at you. Streeble's here.
Yeah, I'm ready to roll.
I got a problem with Skrebel. We'll get to him here in a second.
All right.
I got an issue with him.
What did I do?
I didn't tell you. No, we'll get to it.
Okay.
We got time. Right. We got lots of time today.
We do have lots of time.
Lee Westwood. I keep wanting to call him Lee Westwood. Lee Sterling at 420. Jeff Cameron. We'll talk some Florida State here in about 15 minutes or so. We have the mixtape later on. How you doing, big guy?
Doing good. Got a little shoe untied here. I'm doing, feeling good on a
Friday.
Let me
tie your shoe.
Beautiful weather. I got a little concert. I'm happy.
A
little concert tonight. I'm ready to roll.
So you're meeting your buddy?
Yeah, my buddy. Yeah, he's going to be.
What's going on with you?
He's going to pick me up. We're going to roll out. We're going to do a little tailgating, drink a little beer, a little bourbon, then head on and enjoy the show.
How many beers are you going to have today?
I don't know. I don't want to put a number on it. You know what I mean? That's one of those things I don't want to discriminate. No, no.
Are you going to have good enough cell service to be able to stream the Ryder Cup while you're out there?
Probably not. I would put that as a no. No, the cell service isn't going to be as good. I'm hoping it's okay because I got multiple people I'm supposed to meet and greet out there.
Who are you going to meet?
Just some, you know, the people I know that text me and say, hey, I heard on the radio you're going to be out there. You know, shoot me a text.
Who texts you?
Just some friends.
What do you mean just friends?
Friends. Yeah, friends of mine.
Okay.
Friends of mine. So it should be a good night. Should be. We'll see. And I'm upset at Indiana basketball. That, I mean, Mike Woodson, all he had to do was get Caleb Glenn. He couldn't do it. He took everyone out there, and he still let Mac, who's suspended for 6 games, take him away. I don't like it. I don't like it.
He'll be on campus.
Texas says, hey, Jack, if IU was at the Ryder Cup, I bet the update would have happened.
Oh.
Texas says, is Jack all right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a little down today.
No, I'm not happy because I missed the damn update, but I'll be fine.
Texas says, this Caleb Glenn commitment has Grossman shook. Rough commercial break with a random rummage and a random Sweeney audio clip popping up.
Huh? Uh-oh.
Texas says, is Streba going to do a little puff puff pass at Metallica tonight?
No. The COVID stuff, you don't want to do that. Diener warned us about that, remember?
Diener did.
He did, remember? Diener said, don't be puffing and pat. I don't know how he put it, but he's like, don't be doing that.
Jack, go look for that sound.
It's great sound.
Jack, I'm sorry. Leave Peegs.com alone. Diener, share weed, anything.
Pass the grass.
Anything like that. It was early quarantine, I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was. Did I remember? Yes. He's like,
so
don't
you have a big
be doing
night.
That.
You have a big night plan.
Yeah, big night plan. Looking forward to it.
Where are you with Kentucky, South Carolina? Oh. Are you unchanged?
I disagree with the limbo thing. Because if you beat South Carolina the way you said that could happen, beat by a field goal, that's not limbo. That tells you exactly what Kentucky football is.
Yeah, but Kentucky fans won't see it that way.
They won't.
You will. I understand that.
I'm going to say, if they eke out a win at South Carolina and turn the ball over 3 times and the defense can't stop South Carolina's not very good offense, then I'm going to say we're getting blown out the next 3 weeks. It won't be limbo. It's like, I'll know what this team is. And then you'll beat the bums. You'll beat New Mexico State. You'll beat Vanderbilt. You'll beat Louisville. And they'll get 7 wins. But it's nothing to be too excited about. And then you'll hear people go, 7 wins at Kentucky is pretty good.
God,
and you're like, that's
not
what you were saying in the summertime.
Jack, if it's a close game, you guys are just going to be assassins on the post game show.
It's gonna
Ence
be.
Is gonna have everyone fired.
He is.
He's gonna have Levis Bench. He's gonna have Terry Wilson
returning.
Turnover Terry.
Yeah,
leaving
he's gonna have
New
him
Mexico
back.
Or New Mexico State or wherever the hell he is.
Eddie Grant fired again.
Texas says he's meeting Emily for the concert tonight.
Not true. No.
And he doesn't want to sound like he's 6 Milwaukees in.
Man, I haven't had a Milwaukee's best in a long time.
Texas says, had Glenn committed to IU, Strebel would have been in the chair by 2:55 today, ready to go.
No, I wouldn't have.
Texas says, Strebel and caller Emily going back to the Galt House after Metallica.
No, I'm going to go home and go to bed. I don't know, because I won't be home until midnight or 1 o'clock.
It's going to be a face-first pass out. Yeah,
Are
you going to walk in the house and your grandmother will be there or your mom will be there?
Yeah.
Will it be your mom or your wife's mom?
Actually, my wife's mom.
Okay.
Yeah, but she doesn't care. She's seen it before.
Texas says Issel's going to Metallica. He's going to be telling all the metalheads to tuck their T-shirts in.
Yeah, so he'll be saying something like, this isn't music like Chuck Berry's day. Or
Texas says, Stripple sounds like he might be eight beers in already.
I'm not.
It's a great
anything.
Point.
No, I have not had a thing. I had a focus on the way over
oh,
here.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah, that's probably why.
Jacked
people
up
out there that yeah. I know are going to smoke a J. Don't pass it around.
I like
honest
that.
To God. Think about that. The process is on the floor laughing. Don't pass it around. Get your own and keep it.
That's a really good
That's
point.
That's a real... It's a real thing.
That is upsettingly how good of a point that is. That's such a good point, but it's so funny.
If you're going to... Look, this is the best advice I can give you. If you're going to smoke weed, don't share it. I mean, do you roll smaller joints? Like, these are things that repairing lawnmowers and giving advice on smoking marijuana are two things that I never thought when I got my own talk show that I would be talking about. And reading a text from a preacher that says, make love in the afternoon.
Whoa! Whoa!
That was early COVID.
That was.
That was like, I don't know, I mean, maybe, I mean... April, May?
Probably,
something
yeah.
Like
something
like that.
Something like that. We're like about maybe a month in or something. We're all kind of still delirious and trying to figure
or
things out.
Or as you call it, the good old days.
So I found another drop while I was searching for that. This was not from the same time period, okay. Obviously, because they weren't on the radio station. But it's from Dan Issel.
I love nice. Kiki.
Of course, Strebel loved not the people dying, of course, but he enjoyed having to do nothing when
right.
It was COVID time.
It was kind of nice.
That year.
It was just watching Tiger King and bonging beers. That's what
Texas
it was.
Texas says Kentucky football is going to lose on Saturday.
No, they're not. They're going to win. The discussion point is by how much. I think they'll win by two touchdowns.
Texas says Andy won't credit UK if they win by four TDs. He'll find another obscure way to bleep on them again. Listen, I don't think Kentucky's been good.
They haven't.
They've been okay.
They've been all right.
Right?
They've been okay. They've been middle of the road.
They've been good. I mean, I think they're a fine team. They're a good team.
Yeah.
But I mean, right now they're not doing anything that makes me think they're going to have a season that we would ever use the S word with special in any sort of way. That's how I view it.
They have a couple players that you might say are special.
No, I'm betting
but
Kentucky.
They're not a special
I'm
team.
I'm betting
right now.
Kentucky. I want to be clear. I think Kentucky. I expect Kentucky to win and cover.
Yeah, no,
I expect Kentucky to win by double figures.
Yeah, I expect 100%. Them to win by 14 points or 17 points, something like that. I don't respect South Carolina. I'm with you. I think hopefully that's a wake-up call that we saw last Saturday. They get their bleep together. They go in there to take care of some damn business and give us a little glimmer of hope against Florida. Just a glimmer. That's all I want to see, Andy. Just a little glimmer.
Texas says, Strebel's not seen Emily tonight, and here's why.
Oh.
You know he cannot tell a lie, especially to his mother-in-law when he gets home.
That's a great point. That's a great point. I wouldn't see her anyway. There would be nothing to lie about. But, yeah, I can't lie. So, you know, I'll just go in. I'll say, hello, thanks for watching the kids. I'll just go to bed.
Texas says Patty Ice says he's scared to go to the South End.
No, he's not. We had a discussion about that yesterday. He's not scared of the South End.
Texas says only Billy Reid is.
Yeah.
Now he is, yeah. Yes. Texas says Metallica is about the same age as Issel.
No, they're not. They're early 80s.
Yeah, but it's not country or Western, so Issel wouldn't like it.
That's true. He's not interested in that. Maybe he'd go out there if he heard, you know, Matt Jones is out there. He might make his way.
This is such a great question. What if Strebel showed up at Metallica and he looked over and his wife was there, too?
She wouldn't be. She doesn't. It would be funny. And I looked at like, hey, what are you doing here? It's not her scene.
You would. Oh, it's not.
No, it's not her kind of music. Yeah.
I want to text Perrin Johnson.
Oh, yeah. He's there.
Perrin Johnson is riding over there with Matt Bangs.
Yeah, they're VIP,
and yeah, but I would like I'm trying to think, and I haven't told Jack this. Do we try to get Perrin on while he's in Matt's car?
Yes.
You understand? I mean
yes, we do.
That's where this Friday's going.
Because
I have never seen Caleb Glenn play basketball.
No.
I just know Louisville fans are excited. That's all that I know.
And they should be.
They're excited.
Yeah.
You don't mean that. You're in a good mood today. Otherwise, you would. If this were Wednesday and you were in a bad mood,
you're like patting them on the head right now. That's what you're doing.
No, I think he's being genuine, which I don't like.
It's good for them because they love local kids, even though they don't always
top
pan out.
Kid, he's top 40 kid.
Well, he's a top 40 kid, so it's like top 10 to Chris Mack. So it's at the...
You nothing new there. You got put on the spot. You got put on the
it's
spot.
True.
You got put on the
that's
spot.
Just, that's
you just
top
folded.
10 for him. I didn't fold. That's top 10 for Chris Mack. I mean, at least it's not 90 or 100. What he's top 10 for Chris Mack. That's his spot where he that's his high hit rate. That's like Cal top 10 or John Shire top 10. That's Chris Mack's biggest area.
Oh, so now Shire's in the same class as Cal.
I like that.
I'm
yeah.
just saying he's very recruiting top 10.
By the way, Jeff Goodman, don't look it up, came up with his top 5 recruiters right now.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, it's probably John Shire, number one. Number two, the dude at Texas with Chris Beard that came from Kansas. I'm sure number three is maybe a Kentucky guy. Maybe. We'll see. I'm sure.
We'll see.
I'm sure
we're good. We'll see.
He did it. He made me like him for a day.
And then he crushed you.
And then he crushed us. Yes. Yeah, he liked him.
He swings you up, and then he smacked you in the face.
Yeah, stabbed me right in the back.
Well, Strieble's going to start pre-gaming for Louder Than Life. We're going to take a quick break. Florida State talk. Jeff Cameron next.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
CardNation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Grossman, what do you do on Instagram?
Are you an Instagrammer?
And James Strieble.
Yeah. I mean, I got a nice, solid base.
Your voice got so high there. You got nervous.
A little bit.
I got a bass. Your voice is fine, but for right, you got so
voice.
Nervous. There's your girl,
Jessica. I was trying to figure out how to say it.
Wow. Ooh, she's like dominatrix in that one.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
On this Football Friday, it's ESPN 680, 105.7, Andy Sweeney, James Strieble, Jack Grossman hanging out with you. Reminder, Louisville and Florida State pregame coverage, 1:30, Patty Ice and Taylor Lynch. That's going to be over 93.9 The Ville. We'll have the Ryder Cup right here on 680, 105.7. They'll be live Dixie Highway, Khalil's. All the beer and food specials on game day as Louisville gets ready for Florida State. And to talk about Florida State, I think this is like 2 or 3 years where we've just been talking about crappy football is Jeff Cameron from the Jeff Cameron Show there in Tallahassee. Jeff, good afternoon and congratulations on being a basketball school. How are you?
Yeah, basketball school, women's soccer, women's softball. I mean, they're dominant in all sports. But goodness gracious, it is. I'm well, and it's good to be with you, Andy, as always. And we've watched the slow and painful decline of Florida State football these last four seasons, and you and I have been here to document it all, and usually annually as we talk about Louisville, Florida State. But this is a new low. This is, Florida State hasn't been 0-3 since 1976 in Bobby Bowden's first year, and they are currently 0-3 with a loss on the ledger to an FCS school. So, yeah, it's a new low.
Yeah, it's not good. Well, I mean, I guess, can you give us a Cliff Notes version of how this happened, how they became a mess? Willie Taggart, you know, the plug was pulled after a couple years. Mike Norvell seemed like a good hire. There were some issues early on with the communication with the players, with, you know, all the social and racial injustice and Black Lives Matter, and I remember that a couple years ago. But these two coaches I thought were good. It's not working out. Obviously, 0-3. How did we get here with Florida State?
Well, I got to start all the way to Jimbo's final two seasons in Tallahassee. Behind the scenes, things were going downhill. He kind of let some things get away from him in that locker room towards the end of his time in Tallahassee. He also had some personal things going on off the field. And bottom line was the attention to detail, the discipline, and the things that had made him successful at Florida State were beginning to slip. And they also failed to recruit a quarterback. And that's right. Problematic, obviously.
Sounds familiar, so, yeah.
Yeah, so they didn't have a quarterback. He had kind of decided to check out. He was at odds with the administration. You can argue about who's right, who's wrong. Doesn't matter. It was obviously there was acrimony. And at the end of the day, I think those two parties needed to part ways, and so they did. And from there, they made a hire in Willie Taggart that you just alluded to, who they thought certainly with his connections to the state of Florida, mm-hmm. Having coached successfully at USF, they kind of thought, well, there's a guy that can really recruit. And Florida State's right now taking a downturn, need to upgrade the floor here, up the floor of talent. But Willie failed to really assess what he had. And he made a lot of promises about how good the team would be and how many points they'd score and how this thing was just a minor tweak and not a total rebuild. Well, when you make those promises on the booster circuit and you drum up the kind of support that he did and then you go out and you fail spectacularly, people begin to wonder if you know what you're doing and if you have a proper assessment of what you're doing. And so the administration, I think, panicked. And about 19 games in, it was an unmitigated disaster. There were a lot of things behind the scenes, disorganization, et cetera. And so they said, you know what, we could wait another year, but this is not going to get better. Let's pull the plug now. The problem, Andy, with doing something like that and firing a coach a year and a half in, 2 years in, is you cannot then, I guess, expect to rebound very quickly because you are now, once again, you've removed all continuity and you're starting from scratch. Mm-hmm. You've lost recruits and you've got to convince people you got to make a new hire. So long story short, Mike Norvell comes in, and his first year it's a pandemic.
Yeah.
And he doesn't, you know, at that time, there was no in-person recruiting that could be done. So you lose usually the uptick in momentum that you have from being a new coach, right, that new car smell. He didn't get to do that. And so bottom line is they're going to have to be patient, really patient, obviously. They can't afford to fire again. We see these schools that continually fire coaches and start over. It doesn't work. At some point, you have to have some continuity. And I think what's going to happen now for Mike Norvell is he's going to go through this abysmal season, but he'll be back. Now, he may have to make some adjustments to his staff, but I think the administration is hell-bent on riding this out for the next 2 to 3 years and then assessing where we're at, you know, say it would be his fourth or fifth year before they make any kind of changes if necessary.
That seems to be the narrative sticking with Mike Norvell. Do Florida State fans understand that, or do they want Deion Sanders? I don't know. That's just a national name. Like, are they okay with waiting? Most fan bases are not.
Yeah, most fans are never okay with waiting to win. Florida State is not going to hire Deion Sanders. That would be an insane hire for a lot of reasons. But
right.
I would just say this. I think the difference between liking having to wait and being patient and level-headed and fair-minded and reasonable and also understanding the financial implications of where Florida State's at and what they would have to do in order to start over. I mean, those two things, it's funny. I mean, you can talk to a fan who's really angry, but then when you press them and say, well, do you want to fire them? You want to start over again? They go, no, we'll wait it out. I mean, you don't have a choice, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked around here, and Jeff Cameron with us down there in Tallahassee. It's the Take on ESPN 680 1057. That's been a little bit of the conversation here, you know. I mean, Louisville is that pick six by a freshman, Jeff, who hasn't got much playing time really at all, I don't think, you know, from this being the hot seat game at 3:30
right.
on Saturday because Louisville fans were tired with Satterfield and Mike Norvell. No one would have been happy, but Louisville fans, it saved their week, them going to 2-1. How much different if the Florida State defense doesn't fall asleep with Jacksonville State there and they're 1-2? Is it a little bit different? I mean, I have no idea because that was embarrassing, obviously.
Yeah, that was crazy. And they treated that game like a glorified scrimmage, and it came back to bite them in the butt, and that's what happens. And now all of a sudden you go from a moderately frustrated fan base to one that is intense. Because if you think about opening night with the nation watching, Florida State acquitted themselves quite nicely against Notre Dame.
Yep.
And everybody saw obvious signs of progress. And this is still not a great roster. He is in the process of having to flip it. He's got on the hook right now, at least verbally committed, a top 10 class for 2022. So people are thinking, okay, there are signs here. And that Notre Dame game, I covered that game, walked out of that stadium. I could listen to the fans. They were all, nobody likes to lose, but they were pretty pleased with the effort. And so nobody saw Jacksonville State come in the following week. And they went out there trying to assess their passing game, which has been lacking, primarily because they can't block. The offensive line's a dreadful mess, as it has been for 5 years. But, the thought was, okay, we've got enough talent. I think Mike's thought was, we've got enough talent that we can work on some things in the passing game. And so it was a really fits of stops and starts kind of game, just ugly. Both teams penalized a ton, and it's 17-7 with 7 minutes to play. And you think, okay, well, Florida State's going to win the game. This was an ugly effort. And had they done so, I don't think the hair on fire anger you see now would be in place, because before the season began, if you looked at the Vegas win total, it was 5.5.
Right.
Florida
get to a bowl.
Not expected by anybody to be any good.
Right.
So if you were suddenly 1-2 with a close loss to Notre Dame in overtime and a road loss against Wake, in which you turned the ball over 6 times, I think people would say, well, not ideal, but kind of expected. But because sandwiched in between those two results is a devastating loss to an FCS school for the first time in program history, people begin to wonder, do you know what you're doing? Mm-hmm. And, I think the truth is, with a lot of these coaches, is if you see a guy who has a ton of success elsewhere, I'll use Scott Frost as an example at UCF. Scott Frost takes over a UCF program that hasn't won a game. Within 2 years, he's got them undefeated in the talk of the nation. Well, did Scott Frost suddenly forget how to coach when he got to his alma mater at Nebraska? I doubt it. I doubt it, but he's had no success. Every situation is completely different and unique and unto itself. And I think Mike Norvell, like Scott Frost, is likely a very good coach. He didn't have success by accident at Memphis. He didn't win more games in that program's history than any coach had ever done prior, because he didn't know how to coach. So I think he does. I think he mishandled the situation. There was a misstep, and now you lose all trust. But Florida State fans, frankly, have no choice but to be patient at this point. They're not starting over again.
Jeff Cameron with us there in Tallahassee, getting us ready for the game coming up 3:30 on Saturday. Miller Lite pre- and post-game coverage right here on ESPN Louisville. Let's mention the quarterback. I mean, let's go back. You mentioned the offensive line. The Florida State offensive line has been bad for 5 years. I'm a New York Giants fan. Their offensive line has also been bad for 5 years. I understand bad O-line play. Louisville has built theirs up. I think theirs is getting better, but it's not spectacular. So at quarterback, obviously Jordan Travis banged up, in comes Mackenzie Milton, and he's averaging 5 yards per completion. So what should we expect on Saturday? What have you seen from Mackenzie Milton? And then I guess, is the backup going to be Chubba Purdy, who obviously fans around here know Chubba Purdy?
Yeah, that room is also problematic, if you will, the quarterback room. I think obviously, Florida State, desperate to bring in a guy that could throw the ball when it's third and obviously a passing down. Last year, what you had in Jordan Travis was a guy that could run around and scramble, but not a real good dropback passer, not a guy that could fit it in tight quarters and keep a drive alive on third and eight, not a guy that when opposing defenses knew you had to throw, could make those throws. So they brought in Mackenzie Milton because obviously we all saw, speaking of Scott Frost and UCF, how electrifying Mackenzie Milton was before that devastating injury. And then the hope was that he could come all the way back from that and rekindle some of that magic. But the truth is, he does, to me, he still looks like damaged goods. And, I feel bad for the kid because he has worked hard, and it's still an amazing story just to be back on the football field. But the arm strength's not there. He seems to still have problems with that leg and that foot. The offensive line doesn't hold up. He's not incredibly mobile. So you get a lot of checkdowns, hence your average per attempt. And, I just don't think they have a viable option at quarterback. Frankly, even if they did, I don't know that we would be able to see them perform at a high level because, again, that offensive line is a turnstile. And you know, they had two injuries on that offensive line, which is the only segment group where you could not afford to have a single injury. But they did right off the bat, because of course they did.
Yeah, because that's what happens. Yeah.
That's what happens. Right.
That's what it's happens, like
you,
yeah.
You just, you're like, okay, well, of course that happened. And they have two kids that they've had to plug in that are not ACC caliber, Power 5 caliber offensive linemen, at least not yet. They've had some guys they've had to play in there that just are not ready to play. They're not physically ready to play. And that, obviously, it's tough to scheme up a game plan when you don't have anything to hang your hat on. And you really don't have anything to hang your hat on when you don't have an offensive line. So, you know, it's a hard question for me to answer, Andy, to be honest with you, about what I expect to see. McKenzie's going to start, is my understanding. And I would think that they're going to try to really get the ball out of his hands quickly. A lot of quick game stuff on the outside. Maybe some quick in-route type things, slants and such. But I don't think you're going to see them try to dial up too many plays down the field unless they set it up over a long period of time and then maybe they'll dial up a shot play here or there. But they don't have the ability to just drop back and throw it around the yard. So they're going to have to set all that stuff up with a whole lot of trickery.
Jeff Cameron with us here on The Take. It's ESPN 680, 105.7 on this Football Friday. But seemingly between Corbin and Ward, Florida State can run a little bit. I mean, those guys are averaging 7 yards per carry. That I'm just giving you the one bright spot, I would imagine. Control the ball, run the ball, short stuff, passing game. But they can run the ball. Florida State can run the ball.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the things the fans have been most angry about is they seem to have decided to abandon the one area where they've had a margin of success. Like, those two players are legitimately good football players. And those are guys that can make something happen. Now, again, they are not electrifying, game-changing players. But when you look at Florida State's offensive group, there aren't too many game-changing players. Certainly not at receiver. The tight end room is non-existent. Just got done talking about the offensive line.
Jeff, I hate to interrupt you. I can't believe Florida State's played three games and their leading wide receiver has 89 yards. It's unbelievable.
You can't fathom. We're all watching something very unique.
It's Florida State.
Yeah, I know. It's nuts. They have a couple of guys that if the line could block it up, I think could show well. Malik McClain's a nice player, but he's a freshman. And there aren't too many freshman wide receivers that come in and make a world of difference, especially ones that have to come in and work within an offensive set like this in which the line can't block. So I do think if they get better as the year goes on, you'll begin to see his talent emerge, because I've watched him in practice and I've had a chance to kind of cover him, and he is physically talented. He's a quality player. I think by the time he leaves this program, people will know his name. But right now, obviously, they don't, because they can't get the ball out to him. It's just something. It's something to behold. But I think that the quick passing game, I think they will try to run a lot of misdirection and kind of tosses and draws and things like that. Because if they get to the line of scrimmage without getting hit, both Trayshawn Ward and Jayshon Corbin can produce for this offense. It's just a matter of trying to get to that place where they can get out in the open field and make people miss.
I meant to ask you one more before I get your thoughts on the ACC. I want to go back a little bit. Chuba Purdy, is he the backup? And Louisville fans know him, so I feel contractually obligated here, Jeff, to ask something about Chuba Purdy. He hasn't done really a damn thing, but he could be in the game at some point on Saturday. Has he developed? What I mean, do you guys even mention him? Is he a bust? What is he? I haven't followed too much of what he's done.
Well, he got hurt last year, and they had to do surgery on his shoulder and his collarbone, and then really unfortunate for him. I'm going to give him a bit of a pass. He had that surgery, so he missed a lot of time and within this offense. And then he had complications from the surgery. There was an infection. There was something wrong with the screw that was put in. They ended up having to go back in and do more work. So he's really been beset by injury. Now, he's in a good place finally, I think, mentally. We interviewed him a few weeks back, and he seemed to have turned the corner as far as feeling strong, feeling like he could contribute, feeling like he's himself again. He has been getting reps, because I think the Florida State coaching staff realizes, with the line being like it is and with Jordan Travis being injury-prone and with McKenzie Milton still nursing the hangover from the surgery from a couple years ago, I think they know that there's a chance that kid, whether they like it or not, has to play. Now, he has not developed in the way or that you would expect, but again, he missed a ton of time. He does run with conviction when he gets outside the tackles. He is a guy that can, you know, can use his legs. But in terms of, again, a drop-back passer, Chuba really hasn't had the chance to develop within the offense, both because of injury and because he was third string. So he doesn't get a lot of times with the ones. You don't see a lot of reps. If he plays, I think most Florida State fans don't expect much, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I don't think Louisville fans do either. Good crowd, bad crowd on Saturday. You think it's going to be, I don't know, 75% full? What should we expect? Any idea?
It's going to be gorgeous here. I will tell you, it's you know, fall finally hit in Tallahassee, and it's earlier today I was walking around, it's 60 degrees outside. It was perfect. So if they get that kind of weather, they may have it. They may end up having a good walk-up crowd because it is supposed to be really, really nice. I'd be lying if I thought that they got 80% or anything like that. I mean, this is an 0-3 football team coming off a 3-win year a season ago. So if you look at a 4-year run of bad football, it's tough to get people motivated. I don't know, I guess somewhere in the neighborhood of 50,000, 55,000.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, Louisville's dealt with that a little bit. You just had, you had COVID, and then you had bad football on top of
it.
Yeah,
the marriage of COVID and bad football. Yeah, the marriage of COVID and bad football.
Oh, goodness.
Sparsely attended.
Well, Jeff, appreciate the time. Enjoy the game on Saturday, and maybe a little hazard pay watching Florida State football. But Louisville needs this game to get going. You know, Louisville doesn't need to fall asleep, and you know this game might end up being close to a pick'em if some of the national money comes in. You know, maybe not the smart money, but the national money. We'll see. Go ahead. Sorry,
I've been stunned by it. I've been stunned by that line. I thought it would be Louisville by 5, Louisville by 6, and to see it down at 2, 1.5. I'm kind of surprised. Hey, listen, I still owe you beer, and I haven't forgotten it. So you got to text me your address, so I can send you some beer. And
sounds
and
good.
Let's do double or nothing.
Hey, I think a good yes. I'll take that. But now I got to rely on Louisville football, which I don't feel confident in. But you know, it's okay. Well, good deal.
Hey,
go ahead.
I got to rely on Florida State football, my friend.
It ain't good. All right, well, good deal, Jeff. Always appreciate the time. We will catch up and have a good show. Enjoy the weekend. Thank you so much.
All right, do the same, brother. Be good, man.
All right, there you go. A little Jeff Cameron on a Friday.
A little Florida State football.
Florida State football.
Getting ready. That number is pretty low, if you think about it. As bad as Florida State is, and as good as Louisville's been, it's a low spread.
You know what's not going to be low?
What?
Your BAC.
No, it's not.
Not tonight.
Look
at you.
He's going to be high.
He's gearing up, Jack. Jackie's gearing up right now.
I'm
seeing an athlete in his prime right now. I am watching Floyd Mayweather, get ready for Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah.
On HBO.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. Quick break. On the other end, where's Reed Shepard? Strebel wants to give his Trinity Saint X pick for tonight.
Yes, I do.
And I'm going to take Strebel to task. We'll get into all of that. We'll do it next here on the Take on a Football Friday.